I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from evil.
No, you'd be cool with Nikki Haley on there, right?
Nikki Haley running with Trump?
Oh, that was a joke.
You know, that's so grotesque that I've got to think people who support Trump currently would come out against Trump vehemently.
You know what someone said to me recently?
Do you think that's real?
I think there's a push for it. I think the push for it is real.
From whom?
From her people. You know what someone said to me, though? Very, very recently, we said on the show, they said, it was Richard Barris, he does People's Pundit, and he said, full credit, he said, they will install her, they will try to install her as VP, so they can take out Trump.
Of course. Are you there's for I was about to say there's no one more sinister than Nikki Haley, but that's giving her credit for existing, which I don't think she actually does. I mean, but I think Nikki Haley is a hologram. I mean, she's not. Nikki Haley is just a physical representation of the lust for power of the oligarch class. It's just like if Ken Griffin, you know, had a sock puppet, it would be Nikki Haley. I mean, it's like the most why is Nikki Haley even in the race? She's her views bear no resemblance to the views of Republican primary voters. None. She was totally for the BLM riot. She's totally for the training insanity. And she's for declaring war on half the world. You know, I honestly think if you said to Nikki Haley, you know, she's whatever, I got her positions now. But if you said to Nikki Haley, look, I have a lot of money, like for real. I've got $100 billion and I'll give you a third of it to come out and attack Israel. There's no question that she would. I mean, this is a person.
She would just turn around. Just 100%. On a dime like that.
You know, I've really thought about it and I think that Benjamin Netanyahu is the greatest threat to world peace. And I think, honestly, we should take their nuclear weapons away. Maybe we invade Israel because they're a threat to national security. I think she'd be saying stuff like that if you paid her enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We're live here in Washington, D.C. Today's January 19th, 2024. Anno Domini. Cheating Nikki, folks. Cheating Nikki is having a party. And everyone is invited. You see, Cheating Nikki, she's two-timing her voters, trying to court a whole bunch of Democrats. Yeah, Cheating Nikki, you know, this is really a situation where, you know, you have to ask yourself, if someone can't be faithful to their own voters, are they going to be faithful to their own promises? It really is a situation. And boy, I know she told us that those heels are for ammo. And I didn't know what exactly that meant. A lot of us didn't know what exactly that meant. But now we know. I wear them for ammunition. Okay, Nikki. Okay, we know that you love to use those heels. And you know, there's a lot of things we love in our country. We love patriotism. We love people working hard to overcome challenges. We love South Carolina governors who we know there's nothing more loyal than a South Carolina governor, not only to the people of their state, but to the people who are closest to them. Well, you know, I really think in many of these situations, there's a lot of things that we can, you know, we're hearing a lot of messages that I'm receiving since all of this began. For example, I heard Cheating Nikki's favorite candy, Three Musketeers. Boy, you know what they say about Nikki Haley? If she can't be president, she's going to be looking for work as a foreign liaison. Cheating Nikki apparently has a new campaign strategy. It's all about those swing voters. You know, why is it that they say that Nikki Haley is someone that we can all trust? Look, folks, at the end of the day, I think Tucker Carlson said it on this show the absolute best. I really do think that she is just someone. She is just someone who does whatever her donors will pay her to do. Whatever it is, whatever they say, you can put anything on that teleprompter. She is going to read whatever it is. They write it. She says it. She could be paid by Iran tomorrow and say, you know what? I want to bomb Israel. I want to wipe all of those Israelis off the face of the planet. You know something? From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You could pay her. She'll say it. All right, she'll say it. For enough money, she will say, apparently, or do, anything. And you know, this really is a situation where they say about Nikki Haley, she's always on top of current affairs. You know, Nikki Haley, it's just somebody that, you know, I understand that she's going, New Hampshire, the state's coming up. They say it is a swing state, so she likes that. But she's really going for those blue-pilled voters. I don't know. I don't know why you'd say that. Gosh, you know, they. I got this interesting message earlier that Nikki Haley staffers are all carrying a spare tire in their passenger seats. Why is that? Oh, they want to be prepared for any unexpected blowouts. Apparently, that's something that happens when you're on the road with Nikki Haley. Well, you know what they say about Nikki Haley, folks? Iowa, definitely not her first caucus. We've got a lot of show today. Nor Bin Laden is going to be joining us from the World Economic Forum in Davos. Nor Bin Laden has been on the ground there all week. We're going to talk all about this and get into the many, many, many affairs of Nikki Haley. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
And them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. Got to say, folks, 60% of United States pork production, all right, understand this, it comes from one company, and it's owned by the Chinese. And their hogs are given something called ractopamine, which is banned in 160 countries, including China. Yet you'll find it in your grocery aisle every day. That's a better way, and there is a better way. That's brought to you by today's Human Events Daily sponsor, Moinkbox. Moinkbox delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes to chicken breast to pork chops to salmon fillets and the best bacon. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Look, we just got ours in last night, got our shipment, Tanya Tay, massive Moinkbox that came to the door. I'm super excited, especially because we got a lot of snow here this weekend. So outside and with the kids, and then you come in, boom, you got your bacon, you got your sausage with the cheese inside. It's so good. Join the Moink movement today and keep America farming by going there and signing up at moinkbox.com/poso right now. And the Human Events Daily audience will get 2 free steaks in your first box. Free steaks! It is the best steak you'll ever taste, but for a limited time only. Spelled moinkbox.com/poso. That's moinkbox.com/poso. All right, folks, very excited now. I wish we didn't have to talk about this, but apparently we do still have to talk about it because the Masters of the Universe have just held their latest summit. I call it the League of Globalists there in Davos. Nor Bin Laden is someone who spent all week there. Nor, you're reporting to us live now from Switzerland. Tell us and ask me, you know, or tell us, I guess, if my contention is correct, that it seems like the entire major theme of this year's World Economic Forum, and something you and I have been reporting on for years together, it seems, though, that this theme really wasn't climate change. It wasn't even necessarily Ukraine. It was really more about censorship of the internet and specifically targeting X. What were your impressions?
Great to be with you, Jack. There was a plethora of topics. Nothing was spared, but you're absolutely right. The focus was censorship. And it kickstarted, the week kickstarted very strongly with that topic, because ahead of the WEF annual meeting kickoff, the World Economic Forum released their Global Risks Report. And in that report was featured a table with the top 10 risks for the next 2 years. And number one on that list ranked was disinformation and misinformation. And so throughout the week, everything that was discussed, the underlying subject was disinformation and misinformation and how they need to essentially censor the speech of, quote, us conspiracy theorists, this term was used as well on different panels this week, and this is their main focus, because 2024 is a critical year, especially when it comes to elections. And this is also something that was discussed on multiple panels this week. It was very much the main topic of conversation, especially with President Trump winning the Iowa caucus and coming on really strong. I said it on Steve's War Room. You know, they've been living MAGA, and President Trump have been living rent free in the heads of the people here at Davos throughout the week. And even though President Trump wasn't here, he was very much the center of conversation here in Davos. And so the elections, they're looking very closely at what's happening in America, and they're going to do everything in their power to control speech ahead of the 2024 elections. And this is very much what was discussed this week.
And so, I mean, this is exactly right, because and let's take it back for a second. You've been reporting this more than anyone as an investigative journalist about how really it is that Davos, Geneva, Brussels, all of it together, it has been all about pointing towards the creation of a one world government. And yet the same people who want to force this on the world are now noticing that the forces of, really the forces of nature, the forces of humanity, the forces of, I would argue, spiritual forces are aligned against them. What is the current state of play of this? And are they in fact scared and fearful of what they see coming out of places like Iowa this week?
You know, you just referred to the spiritual element of this, and it is very much a spiritual battle that we're in. And these people are, there are no other words to say, they're very much evil, and their agenda is absolutely evil. And in doing my research, and I thought you'd appreciate this, Jack, and so I wanted to mention on the show, I came across this Polish psychiatrist of the 20th century named Andrzej Lobachevsky, and his field of study is what he has referred to as political ponerology, which is the study of evil in the political realm. And he came up with this term, which I think is so fitting for these people, describing these people, which is pathocracy. And pathocracy is government by people with mental disorders. And this is exactly what we saw here at Davos. And it's a system, to use his definition, a system wherein a small minority, a small pathological minority, takes control of society, of a society of normal people. And this is exactly what we've seen play out this week. We have this small minority of so-called elites, people who have created all these vehicles that you mentioned, sit in Davos, sit in Geneva, sit in Brussels, and all these different centers that the globalists have chosen as bases in which to put these organizations. And so they created all of these entities, and then they self-appointed themselves with these titles, you know, Secretary General of this, President of that, Founder of the World Economic Forum. They have all these entities, and they give themselves these fancy titles. But at the end of the day, who elected these people? Who chose them to be the, quotes, guardians of trust, as they referred to themselves this week? They think they are the masters of the world. They think they have any form of authority to dictate how we are going to live our lives, and it's simply not going to work. And as you mentioned, we are standing up to them. I don't know if they're scared, but they're certainly noticing us. They are trying by any means necessary to stop us, and they will spare nothing, you know, in 2024. I mentioned this with Steve the other day. 2024 is going to be absolutely crazy, and they're going to throw everything they can, whether it's, you know, quote, disease X, whether it's cyber attacks. They're continuing full steam ahead with the climate change narrative. And obviously we can see the state of the world, you know, war is breaking out everywhere, or to use their term in their risk assessment table that I mentioned, they refer to it as interstate conflict. which is just say it plainly, you know, war. These people are behind these wars at the end of the day, and they are just creating chaos everywhere in 2024 for the very reason that they've been mentioning several times throughout the week. It's election year, and it's a pivotal point, or an inflection point, as they like to say.
Well, and when I look at the state of play when it comes to this, they've been moving along technological, biological, and extra-governmental, supra-governmental sides and lines for years at this point, century at this point in point of fact. But, you know, when you really look at the way things have been put together, the thing is, no one in any of these countries actually voted for any of this. I guess you could say the UK voted on Brexit. These issues were never put before the voters. No, certainly I don't recall ever being asked if I wanted my country to be subservient to a one world global order that comes out of Brussels and Geneva and these things. You got Alex Soros up there talking about how, oh, we have the rules-based system, and Trump is a big affront to that. And Tony Blinken says the same thing. I said, what is the rules-based system? Can someone explain this to me? Where are these rules? Are they written down somewhere? Can I find these rules? Is it like the Ten Commandments and they're on two tablets up on Mount Sinai? You know, and they will never actually explain to you where this is or where it came from. I say, is it a treaty? Is it the U.S. Constitution? What are these rules that apparently are only dictated by the Western governments, but they do not actually apply to the Western governments, which is a totally separate situation. But Noor, talk to me some more about, and we've got about a minute left, we're going to carry you over after the break. Talk to me some more about this palpable sense of fear that you see there.
Listen, they realize that so many of us are awake and aware as to what they've been up to for, as you mentioned, a couple of centuries at least. My research is focused on the 19th and 20th century, and they have been driving the agenda for that much, you know, that long. They've been working hard and creating the infrastructure or the structure, these rules that you mentioned, the international rules-based order. They have all these terms, but they also have, more importantly, all these groups that interact with each other, that coordinate with each other, and they meet in Davos once a year. That's one of their many meetings. Your audience will be familiar with the Bilderberg meetings, et cetera. This has been going on for so long, Jack, and the web is so entangled of all these different entities working hand in hand and coordinating. And the thing is, nothing is hidden. You know, they call this conspiracy theories, but actually there are many books where some of these rules are written. There are reports. They talk about it openly, and now a lot.
And they're saying it in their own documents. Noor bin Laden, stay right there. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Human Events Daily continues.
Today, you know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers, and they're friends of mine, Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack. He's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Event Daily. Folks, the world is in absolute flames. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster. But it cannot and it will not ruin my day. Do you know why? It's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% Americana, and it is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, I said before, you know, we got a lot of snow in the DC area. It is definitely a snow day. I need my blackout coffee when I can get through the shoveling and then, you know, just to have fun with the kids out in the snow. So if you want to do that as well, power yourself, power your day, power your show, power your work, power your business. blackoutcoffee.com/pozo and use promo code POZO20 for 20% off your first order. Check out the gear section for some incredible gifts ideas this winter while you're there. blackoutcoffee.com/pozo. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/pozo, promo code POZO20. Noor bin Laden, you spent the entire week at the World Economic Forum, and you and I have always discussed this has been the tension and really the tug of war of the United States government and what the United States represents in the world.
Yes.
And something you said to me, you know, almost 2 years ago now really resonates, is that the United States was founded as a nation state. It was not part of the global system of the time, which was the British Empire. That was the globalism of the 18th century. And now what they're, or what they have attempted to do is reconstruct those boundaries and reconstruct those international, supranational institutions through things like the World Economic Forum. But there's now a crossroads and a fork in the road, because if the United States pulls out of this system and goes down the road of someone like Donald Trump, these have been his policies, where the nation state is refounded and then deals with other countries, whether it be China, whether it be Russia, whether it be Iran, etc., as I'll say other nation states, rather than sort of enemies of the system, the way the globalists want to view it. This, of course, is how Trump dealt with all of his diplomatic policies when he was in office. If you look at them as another state, as opposed to an enemy of the rules-based order, an enemy of the one world government, suddenly it seems like you can actually get to peace deals. And this is what he was doing while he was president. Talk to me some more about this tension between this crossroads.
You're absolutely right to highlight, and we cannot repeat it enough, that during President Trump's time in the White House, no new wars were started. And just look at what has happened to the world since the Biden regime was installed. And this is exactly what I had written in my letter to America and what I had forewarned that would happen. And to the point you were just making, Jack, there is this quote by George Washington that I'm going to paraphrase, but he had said that America... that he had told Americans that their nation had a high destiny, which it could not fulfill if they permitted their government to become entangled in the affairs of other nations. And the founding fathers understood that they could not be entangled in the globalist web. And lo and behold, 250 years later, if you look at what has happened, especially throughout the 20th century, which the globalists have essentially painstakingly taken the time to subvert the United States of America, to bring the United States of America into the globalist system. And, you know, again, it was President Trump who, in an interview with Sean Hannity a couple of years ago, told him, you know, why? How come we became the policeman, the watchdog of the world? When you look at the post-World War II world and America just all of a sudden going in all of these wars across the world, we went from Pax Britannica to Pax Americana at that point in time. And so the globalists essentially have done their best to transform the United States into a vassal state and to make them and the American army go fight all these wars on their behalf. And this is what we're seeing today unfold since this Biden regime was installed in the White House once more. It's a continuation, and President Trump was an anomaly in the foreign policy of the United States of the past 80 years, essentially.
And so this idea that Trump, and it's interesting to me too, because there's something almost, you know, Westphalian about Trump's outlook in terms of foreign policy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that he's studied, you know, that deep into the literature of these various things, but I think he does have this sort of general understanding that if the United States is to succeed, the United States has to be a leader. And for the United States to be a leader, it must not be subservient to these institutions. And by the way, to your point as well, could the World Economic Forum, could NATO, could any of these things exist without being essentially yokes around the neck of the United States? It's the United States that funds these things. It's the United States that gives power to these things. It is the sovereignty of the United States government that is then furthered to these institutions and tied up with all of the, you know, the corporate backers, etc. But if the United States pulls out, what happens to them?
No, that's exactly the point that I made with Steve the other day. I said verbatim, America will thrive without the World Economic Forum, but the World Economic Forum will not survive without America. And you know, the World Economic Forum is a placeholder for all these different globalist institutions. It's just the globalist system, the one world order, the one world government cannot be implemented without having America on board. And this is why there has been this onslaught, all these attacks on different aspects of the American society to bring America to her knees so that she is made to become a province of this socialist one world government at the same level as other nations. They want to bring America down a peg, level America to the same level of all these other nations. That's why you see that they're pushing multipolarity so much, because multipolarity is a gateway to this globalist system as well. Everything that has been done, in essence, is about the weakening of America and about trying to undermine and destroy what the founding fathers had set to achieve for your nation. And it's so clear, from at least from the outside and for those who study history, that this is what has happened and what has transpired since the revolution. And we need to understand the reason. I mean, I'm very passionate. I love history. So I look into all these things. But beyond that, we really need to look into all these things, because we need to understand how we got here in the first place so that we can reverse course. And the only way we can reverse course is by America remaining an independent, sovereign nation. And that means reclaiming all these institutions that have been infiltrated. And aside from my deep love and affection for your country and my admiration for what the founding fathers set out to achieve and managed to achieve, I also understand, and so that's why I want to see your country succeed, but also for the rest of the world, I want to see America succeed, because if America falls, the rest of the world falls. We need a strong America in the world. We need a strong America that leads in the world, because otherwise the alternative is the system. And I would just like to quote as well Marquis de Lafayette, who had said that the happiness of America is intimately connected to the happiness of the rest of the world. And he said this, you know, back then during the revolution, and the words ring 100% as true today as they did back then.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And this is the stakes, right? These are the stakes. And I don't think that any of the other candidates that I've seen in this primary even understand any of the things that we're talking about. They might talk about, you know, wokeness or political correctness, or if you're, you know, Nikki Haley, or just a full-on neocon who is a fire-breathing dragon of whatever her donors tell her to.
Nikki Haley is the prime example of what an ANO is, an American in name only. She is the ultimate ANO. She is the ANO of the moment, at least. And they're trying to push her because she is a globalist minion who will implement the Davosian agenda. She's already on record supporting Davos and WEF agenda points, including abolishing online anonymity, as I mentioned with Peter Navarro on Steve's War Room earlier. She is the opposite of what America needs.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Norbin Laden, tell us, where can people follow you? Where can they get more of your information as you, I know your reporting is going to continue?
Thank you. You can find me on Twitter and Getter at Norbin Laden. My Substack, norbinladen.substack.com. And I started with my friend Nick Cheruti a website called We End Freedom. You can see the logo behind me. It's weendfreedom.com, and it's a repository of everything you need to know about the WEF's global, the World Economic Forum's global takeover.
We must understand the underpinnings of this. If we have a free internet, we have a chance to return to freedom. It's as simple as that. This is why they want to shut it down, because they understand all the way back from 2016, and we had Mike Benz on here the other day, where they specifically pointed out that my work on the Twitter platform, now the X platform, was cited by NATO in this Atlantic Council journal, front and center, my name on the cover as being the center of the networks that they are trying to shut down on Twitter. This has been a central goal of the globalists ever since Donald Trump won his election in 2016. This is why they took the election from him in 2020. This is why they're trying to shut down the internet now. My solid friend, Bricksuit, joins us next here at Human Events Daily.
Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily, Washington, D.C. A man who needs no introduction, a very famous individual who got to be part of an iconic moment in history, joins us now here on Human Events. It is the most solid man in politics because he's a man that's made out of pure brick. Ladies and gentlemen, Bricksuit.
Hi, Jack. How you doing?
What's going on, man? So tell me, you got to lay it out for us. What was it like being there in Iowa? We understand you drove to Iowa to
Correct.
Be there that night with President Trump. And then all of a sudden, he calls you up on stage. Just walk us through that moment.
Yeah, you're correct. I did drive there to be in Iowa. I was going to go for two rallies and then the caucus. And so, you know, I just thought, you know, anybody can fly to Iowa. Why do that? I've got some time. I'm going to drive. So 1,700 miles, definitely worth the effort. And I'm at the victory party and honestly did not think anything like that would happen at all. It was just enough for me to be there to show my support for the president. You know, maybe he'd just point me out, you know, give me a little wink in the audience or something like that. And then he started talking, you know, about my suit and it being, you know, a wall suit. And I think when he called me up, I was stunned. No way did I ever think that was happening. I didn't even have my wall pants on, you know. Problem is, they don't exactly fit over the thermals I had to wear for that evening. So I was definitely surprised.
Yeah, so and just from you're surprising, of course, but what does it say? You know, I guess what does it say about, you know, President Trump as a leader? You know, there's been a lot of this discussion, I guess, about the sort of retail politics prowess of, you know, of Ron DeSantis versus Trump, this personability that DeSantis just doesn't seem to have. But, you know, there were people, and Carrie Donovan had this great tweet that's gone viral and it's kind of become a meme on Twitter now. But her original tweet was just how she had bumped into Trump on a plane years ago and he, you know, he spoke with her and he saw what she was reading and he encouraged her to go into that field. And yeah, you hear these stories about him over and over and over about these little moments where he just actually genuinely tries to connect with people. And I think that more than any specific policy, right? You need the policies, but more than any specific policy, that is why his voters don't leave him. That's why they stick with him. What was your sense as someone who's going through that?
Yeah, you're 100% correct that people connect with President Trump unlike any other politician because he is genuine. And so in all of the stories, I mean, he's had so many interactions with people over the years, but in all of the stories, in all of those, you don't hear about, I met him and he gave me the cold shoulder. You don't, that's not out there. Now, a normal person with that much interaction with the public, you'd expect some of those things, but it doesn't happen with President Trump. And I think, you know, the first time he called me up on stage at a rally in Montoursville, it was a moment that I think people identify with as being emblematic of him. Where else, what other world leader would take one of their supporters just out of the crowd at random and invite them up on stage. That was a pretty powerful, you know, moment of trust between President Trump and his supporters. And, you know, I think unfortunately, because of the horrible job that Joe Biden has done on the border, the issue that I support the most has actually even more important now than it was in 2016 and 2020.
Well, you know, and then you mentioned Ron DeSantis. Now we've got this other situation going on now. I started call her Cheating Nikki, because she is cheating on her voters, cheating on Republicans by trying to get these Democrats to vote for her in New Hampshire. And that's certainly the only thing that I'm talking about. But she just seems like someone who's a cheater. She's two-timing on her voters. She's trying to get a lot of those blue-pilled voters out there. Someone who, what can I say, if someone is not committed, if someone is not going to be fidelitous, if someone is not going to maintain that level of trust, someone who's going to break her vows with her voters. I mean, how can you trust someone like that?
Well, it's easy to accuse her of being unfaithful. And I think in this case, she's being unfaithful to her voters, but faithful to her donors. I think she's doing their bidding here. And in this case, it is the Democrat donors. They want to put her forward as an alternative. And of course, as has been mentioned many times, but people need to understand, in New Hampshire, you can cross the line and vote for somebody in the other party. And that's exactly what they want to do with Nikki. They want people to vote for her instead of President Trump and dilute President Trump's victory. But, if there was a closed primary in New Hampshire, it would be no contest. It would be a replication of Iowa.
Well, you know what they say about Nikki Haley. She's been known to step across the line. She's been known to open certain doors. She's been known, as she says, to use her heels as ammunition. We can only speculate as to what exactly it was that she meant by that.
She's so duplicitous that really what she meant, what she says and what she means are two different things. I mean, if you look at her history, if you look at her track record, I'm never going to run against President Trump. And then she runs against President Trump. And that's not the only thing she's waffled on. You know, she is not someone who you can look back at their record and say, this is a consistent person. This is somebody who I want representing my country, who I want to be the leader of America. It's just a non-starter. And I don't even think people want her as a VP. I don't even think she's a good second place. So I'm looking forward to her being completely demolished.
Now, when you talk about this idea of her being Trump's VP, what do you think the effect of that would be when it comes to sort of the Trump base?
Well, historically, you choose a VP who adds something to your ticket without detracting from it. I don't think you get that with Nikki Haley. I think, in fact, you might lose more than you would gain. I don't think that there's any practical reason that I could see to name her as a VP pick. Now, that being said, I am really not into the speculation about who's going to be VP. I think it's in President Trump's interest to wait as long as possible before naming his VP, because I don't believe that the Democratic ticket is solid yet. We may see Joe Biden drop out at the last minute, and then the DNC just anoints their candidate at their convention. So I think it behooves President Trump to wait until the Democratic ticket is solidified so that he can pick the best candidate.
No, I think you're right. And I look at Nikki Haley and I say, this is someone she's gone in for every hoax. And we played the Tucker Carlson clip from our interview a couple of weeks ago here asking about her. And I asked him that same question. I said, what do you think about this? Richard Barris came out, by the way, and said that he thinks he's like, yeah, that's the perfect opportunity for the deep state to take out Trump, because then she gets to become president and she's their girl. I asked Tucker Carlson, it's the only time I've ever seen this happen where I think I actually unlocked a new Tucker face. It was like stunned Tucker face. He just froze. He said, Nikki Haley on the ticket with Trump. And he just looks down for a second and he goes, no, no, absolutely not. You know, this would, you know, I think this would absolutely destroy Trump's chances in the Rust Belt. I think this is something that would be a massive drag on the ticket. Look, you know, when you're picking a vice presidential candidate, you need someone who isn't, it's not so much someone that, as you say, helps your candidacy, someone who helps your ticket, but you're really looking for someone who doesn't hurt you. Okay.
Correct.
And it is specifically her stances on many of these issues that she's taken in the past, her view as a neocon, her relationship with Boeing, like, you know, doors falling out of the sky. Do you want someone who's associated with being that much of a loser with your campaign? And obviously someone who's certainly associated with a lot of these globalist schemes of sending jobs overseas, getting in bed with China, getting in bed with, I mean, who knows? Who knows who she would be getting in bed with if you put her on the ticket, and who she would push to get in bed with as vice president? Because when, you know, when people look at her, they don't look at someone who's faithful. They don't look at someone who cares about the voters. They look at someone who's willing to take the checks. And whoever's going to cut the check, the biggest check, is the one that she is going to go with. Human Events Daily continues. Brick Suit is our guest, the one, the only. It's a fun Friday, a snowy Friday here in Washington, D.C.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live with Brick Suit. We're talking about cheating Nikki, but there's a lot on the plate. And by the way, we do actually have breaking news right now on from the Post Millennial and others. I want to just double check this, okay? I think this is legit, folks. I think this is legit. Yes. Oh, yes. 100% legit. Alec Baldwin has been indicted on involuntary manslaughter charges in the Rust shooting. This is a grand jury. Now, we know that there were some cases, there were charges against him before that dropped out. And they have now issued new charges. He has been charged with involuntary manslaughter. Wow. The only Democrat, you know, of all the times they accuse, these anti-gun Democrats will constantly accuse Republicans and conservatives of killing people. But in terms of this, Alec Baldwin is a guy who all the way back in 2021 shot and killed his own staffer on set. And this is emblematic of what I talked about before, about there being this three-tier justice system in America. Brick, I know we were going to talk about something else, but you know, I do think that there is an element of lawfare associated with all of these things. That's kind of because we're talking about in terms of public opinion. But the people can see that a guy like Alec Baldwin can, you know, it seemed like he was skating after shooting and killing someone. Whereas Donald Trump is like, what did he do? The president, he kept some papers from the office, you know, and oh, by the way, he was the president. Walk me through the calculus, I guess, when it comes to public opinion as they look at lawfare and what they see has happened to Trump versus what happens to these high name Democrats, high and very powerful Democrats.
OK, well, in the case of Mr. Baldwin, if you're familiar with that model of Colt revolver, there's no way it can shoot itself. It had to be a deliberate act by him. So I applaud the grand jury there for finally made the correct decision to go forward with some form of prosecution. On the other hand, with the issues facing President Trump, they're all manufactured. They're all, I hate to use the word, they're trumped up charges. And they're using it, as you said, lawfare, in an attempt to divert his attention and his finances and his time from his campaign. What they didn't count on was the fact that President Trump has no quit in him, that he's going to continue to fight, and that he has so much energy that really it isn't really slowing down his campaign at all. Look at the victory he got in Iowa. Look at the victory he's going to get on Tuesday in New Hampshire. I think that's going to become evident. And I think when you're talking about the normies and they're seeing the type of press coverage that comes out about this, they keep waiting for the shoe to drop. I mean, what is the real reason that President Trump is being charged? And there's no there. That shoe is never going to fall. Because in the case of the documents case, he has authority under the Presidential Records Act to have those documents. And in all the other cases, it's just there's no moment where the public can latch on to and say, oh, there's the proof. That's why they filed the suit against them. It's absolutely lawfare. And the more coverage it gets in the mainstream media, traditional mainstream media, ironically, the more people realize that because they're like, that's it. That's what all this fuss is about. And I think in the end, it's just going to drive more independent voters over to President Trump.
And so I'm just going through some of our previous reporting on this. So we did have back in October, the prosecutors were planning on refiling the manslaughter charges for pulling this. Now, they had dropped the charges all the way back in April of last year. And I was saying it just seems like, you know, it. Remember, because all of this was happening at the same time. And that's why it's so interesting, because go back to the spring of 2023, right around the time when the prosecutions were all dropping. And remember, what did they say over and over? I remember this. No one is above the law. No one is above the law. No one is above the law. And yet we're watching a guy shoot and kill someone who's very well connected in Democrat politics, someone who's a high level Democrat influencer, operative, whatever you want to call it. And suddenly, you know, there are people saying, oh, he allegedly shot and killed. It's on video. It's on video what he did. OK, there's no allegedly here. What's alleged is whether or not, I suppose, it was deliberate, because I remember, and there was this great theory, by the way, that Viva Fry and Tim Pool and myself were advancing, essentially that, okay, here's the interesting part of this, right? What do we know about Alec Baldwin? We know that he snaps when he gets angry. He snaps when he gets angry. He gets testy. He's been known to use violence. He's known to attack paparazzos and all the rest of this. And so the idea is it that far off to believe that, you know, he's got this producer who's directing him? You're telling me what to do? You're telling me I'm doing it wrong? You're telling Alec Baldwin that he's doing it wrong on the set? Well, you want me to fire the gun? What, like this? Huh? Like this? Like this? How about this? And then he pulls the trigger, right? Because he gets upset and then he pulls the trigger while after admitting, by the way, that he had the weapons training. He admitted that he knows about how these guns operate. As you mentioned, he admitted that he's been around guns a lot. I mean, to watch any of his movies, right? You could see he's been around hundreds of guns probably in his career. And so I really don't think that this is something that works well for him in the margins, on margin, I should say, because this is a guy who I think it's very easy to point out that he could have done this. And you mentioned as well about the gun. You're familiar with the firearm.
Yes, I am. Yeah,
right.
I mean,
so that's a situation where
it can't discharge accidentally. There's just no way with that model of Colt revolver. It requires a deliberate trigger pull. It can't just discharge. No way.
And it's a long trigger pull too, if I remember correctly. Some people were doing some, you know, there's a lot of YouTubers that were getting into it. A lot of the gun community was looking into this. You know, that wasn't one of these, you know, and if you don't. Well, and even dropping the hammer, so it would be the double action, it would still be a deliberate act. It doesn't just automatically happen, does it?
No, not at all. And, you know, you mentioned about people being above the law and gun crimes, I was thinking, you know, what if you lied on the form for your handgun purchase and then the bag that you had
yes,
that gun in
exactly.
had cocaine on it, and, you know, cocaine was found on the bag, but you lied about being a drug addict. And yet cocaine was found on the very bag pistol was stored in. I mean, and yet you were never prosecuted for it.
Brick, we are just about out of time for the show, for the week. Where can people follow you, man?
Best place to follow me is on Twitter. It's @Brick_suit. So Brick_suit.
Ladies and gentlemen, you will never meet someone who is more solid than a man who is made of solid brick. The Brick Suit himself. Make sure that you go follow him. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission. Lay ashore.